All right, here we're beginning towards the middle bottom of Chavetz Chaim Bet by the Mishnah. Mishnah is discussing the practices of Rabbi Gamliel. And over here it says, Afu Amar Shlosha Dvarim Nakel. There were three things that he was lenient with regards to. Mechabdim Beit HaMitot. You're allowed to sweep up, clean up the area where they ate. Beit HaMitot is not the bedroom, but rather their dining room, because that's where they had the couches on which they ate their meals. So they were allowed to sweep up those areas and not worry about the problem of shvuei gumot, which is smoothing out the cracks or the crevices in the ground. U'menichem et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. One's allowed to burn mugmar on yom tov, despite the fact we'll see that there might be problems with doing that on yom tov. V'osim gedi b'kulas v'leil pesachim. And they used to make a roasted goat on leil pesach, meaning like a roasted kid, that simulated the roasting of the Korban at Pesach for exactly those purposes, to make it look like they were eating or zecher l'migdash of the Korban at Pesach. V'chamim usrim. The chamim are osir in all three of these instances. So now we're going to discuss them. Amar Rav Asi, machloket legamer. The only machloket here is about being megamer. Aval hariach diriakom mutar. But to smell it, everybody says is mutar. The difference being whether you're simply burning the incense for the aroma in the room, or you burn the incense in order to give that aroma to some object, like clothing. So the gamer means that they're doing it to put into another object. So there he says, that's where the machlok between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim is. But if you're simply putting it on the fire in order to smell it and make the place smell nice, that everybody agrees is mutar. The gemara now challenges that. We have a bright. One is not allowed to sweep up the dining room on Yom Tov. But Beit Rabban Gamliel actually did sweep it up. Amar Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok. Bamim harbe nichnasti achar Abba the Beit Rabban Gamliel. Eliezer bar Tzadok gives first-hand account that he went into the Beit Nasi, the house of Rabban Gamliel. V'lo yimechamu mechabdim Beit Amitot b'Yom Tov. They never swept the floors on Yom Tov. Ella mechabdim otom erev Yom Tov. They used to sweep it up, clean it up before Yom Tov. Uporsin aleim sad dinin. And then they put sheets across on the floor. L'machar, the next day, kishorachim nichnasim, when the guests enter, misalkim et asadinim, they remove the sheets, so it looks like everything was clean, everything was untouched. Benimsa bayit mitchabed me'alav, and then the house was clean by itself. Amrlo, imkain, if that's the case, af b'shabbat mutar lasot kain. Then even on Shabbat you could do that. So certainly that's not the machloket that we're speaking about here. Their machloket is actually about sweeping up the floor, not about putting down sheets and taking off sheets, because that would be permissible even on Shabbat. Ve'imin ichim et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. Then you're not allowed to place mugmar, the incense, on the fire on Yom Tov. V'shabbet Rabban Gamliel menichin. Beit Rabban Gamliel did used to put it on the fire. Amar Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok pe'amim harbe nichnasti achar abo the Beit Rabban Gamliel. Again, first-hand witness to what took place in the house of Rabban Gamliel. I went after my father. Below, ayu merichim et ha-mugmar b'yom tov. They never placed the incense on Yom Tov. Ella mevin ardaskiot shel barzel. They brought these iron censers, which are these pans that have holes in them where they used to burn the incense. So normally what would happen is you burn the incense inside the pans and the aroma, the smoke, escapes through the holes, and that's what gives the smell to the room. U'me'ashnin otan me'erev Yom Tov. But what they did was they burnt the incense inside of them on Erev Yom Tov. U'pokukim nigvehem. But they would plug the holes in the censers so that the incense could not escape from there. It would be stuck inside. So then, when they plugged the holes, me'erev Yom Tov, v'machar, k'sherochim nichnasim, when the guests came in, potim et nigvehem. They unplugged the holes. And then the aroma spread throughout the house because they had unplugged the holes in the censers. Amrlo, again, the Chachamim say back to him, if that's the case, then there's not even a question on Yom Tov. On Shabbat, you could do that. You don't even have to be Yom Tov to do something like that. What's clear from this braita is that their argument is about lariach. Their argument is about placing that incense in the room, because you see that the argument is about the smell. And the alternative that's offered by the son of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Tzadok was again about flavoring or giving an aroma to the room, not about doing that to an object, to clothing. Because he gives an example of them plugging the sensors and then opening up the sensors on the day of Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, "Eli itmar hachi itmar." You have to amend the statement of Rabbi Asi to say this. Amar Rav Asi, machloket lahariach aval legamer asur. The machloket is about creating an aroma in the room, having the incense burn, But everybody agrees, if you're trying to put it into clothing, you're trying to make something else, an object, smell with that incense, everybody agrees that that is asur. We'll see in the Gemara coming up, that's a problem of molid reicha, molid reach, which means that you're creating, it's as if you're creating something new, because you're placing a new smell into the item, and that is impermissible on Yom Tov. Ibailuhu, mahu lashin. What is it to smoke? Now here, smoking is not like we think of smoking, but smoking over here is smoking fruits, as Rashi tells us. So they used to put these incense under the fruits. They used to burn it, and then it would give flavor to the fruits that were above it, and they were smoking it. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba amar Rav asur. Yirmiyahu bar Abba says in the name of Rav, it's asur on Yom Tov. Ushmuel amar mutar. Shmuel says it's totally fine. Rav Huna amar asur. Rav Huna, a Talmid of Rav, says it's asur mipnei. The problem is that you're extinguishing the coals. When you place the incense onto the coals while they're burning, at first what it does is causes a diminishment in the burning of the coals. So you have michabe. Then the fire increases again and burns it. Why don't you say there's a problem of burning the incense? Which is true. First it's michabe, and then afterwards it's mavir. Why did you focus on michabe? I'm just doing it in the order. The first problem you run into is mechabeh. The second problem you're going to run into is mavir. Because when you first place the incense onto it, it diminishes the coals, diminishes the fire. And afterwards they burn, and now they're going to burn this object, which is a problem of mavir. So I have a problem of both mechabeh and mavir. Oh, so why is it a problem of mavir or mechabeh on Yom Tov? Now, possibly mechabeh can never be used. That's a possibility. We'll discuss in tomorrow's talk. But for right now, let's assume that mavir could be done because it's ochel nefesh. Why can't you do mavir for ochel nefesh? So that's the question that you have to ask here. You have to ask that with all of these things, the mugmar. All the things with the mugmar, a problem of mavir. You're simply putting incense onto the fire. Why can't you do that on Yom Tov? Even if it's not for ochel nefesh, even if it's for something that's sorech Yom Tov, it should be mutar. We already learned back on Daf Yud Bet, mitoch shehutra. For ochel nefesh, then it's hutra the gamre, according to Rashi. According to Tosfot, it's lisa hutra the tzorach Yom Tov. So why is that not the case over here? There is a problem, which is not discussed in our Gemara, but is discussed in other places, which is that the requirement that the hana, the benefit that you derive from an object, has to be a davar shaved ochel nefesh. Has to be something that everybody would enjoy, everybody would get benefit from. So, davar shaved ochel nefesh does not allow you or precludes you from doing certain melachot, because those melachot are not something that everybody would enjoy. Only particular individuals would enjoy. Rashi calls them here people that are istinis, people that are very mifunakim, they're very particular, they are unable to eat things without them being exactly the way they need them. So because of that, that is a unique necessity for people, or a luxury that not everybody can afford. And so because of that, this is something that is not a davar shaved ochel nefesh. And that's why you may not do it on Yom Tov, even though technically it's even ochel nefesh. Here would really be what we call makshire ochel nefesh. It's not really ochel nefesh. But even so, it should be mutar, because mavir is one of the melachot that is permissible mitoch to do even when it's not ochel nefesh. The answer is this issue of davar shaved ochel nefesh. Right now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, agabe kachelet asur, to put this incense on top of a coal is problematic. Agabe cheres mutar, on top of a shard of pottery that was heated up, then it's mutar. You can see for what reason that is. There's no mechabeh in that case. In that case, there's only mavir. There is no mechabeh. So now you're in a much better position. Rabba Amar, agabe cheres, nami asur. Even on top of a cheres is a problem. Mishom dekam molid reicha. Because this problem of molid reach, which is what we just discussed before. What is permissible, if at all, is allowed you to change the aroma in the air around you to create smell around you. What you cannot do on Yom Tov is have that aroma be inserted into another object, because that is like molid reicha, as Rashi describes it here. It's an isur dirabanan, sham molid davar chadash, karovu lo semelacha chadasha. When you create something new, here you have a beged now that has a aroma to it. You have fruit now that have an incense to them. That is equivalent or similar to making something new on Shabbat and Yom Tov, and that is impermissible. It's an isur derabanan, but this molid reach prevents you even from doing it when you put it on a kli cheres, because even though there's no mechabeh, you still have a problem of mavir. Now the Rashi says it about the cheres itself, right? Even if you were doing it not for fruits, but you were doing it for the aroma of the room, it'd still be problematic because the shard of pottery would absorb the aroma, and that would be problematic. Now Rashi says why doing it on kli cheres makes it better than doing it on a coal. One piece of that is obvious, that there's no mechabeh. But then he adds, in addition to that, v'avara nami ayidei shinui. That's an unusual way to do mavir, kila achayat. That's like a backhanded way to do mavir, and therefore leka isura deoraita. It's not the normal way to do mavir, and therefore you've just dropped it down to an isur derabanan. And in that case, maybe we could waive it because of the needs of Yom Tov. We would waive that isur derabanan. That's the way Rashi describes it over here. The Tosafot disagrees, and he says, "Varav Rabbeinu Yitzchak Perish, the Shapir Havi Havara Kedarka." That's a regular type of havara. There's nothing unusual about this. Makom Sharia, why is it mutar over here? The Kasara Havara Shalom Tzorach Shari Lasoto B'Yom Tov. Havara that's not necessary on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do. What happened to the problem with Dover Shavilachol Nefesh? That what's the reason here is not because of Mlechet Ochol Nefesh, rather to do with another machloket that we have in Havara with regards to Yom Tov and Shabbat, which is Batam Manda Sar Savar Davar Lechalik Yatzta Avi Melacha. There's a machloket with regards to Havara on Shabbat. Havara on Shabbat is singled out in the Torah. It says that Otzvar Reish B'Chomosh V'Tchem B'Yom HaShabbat. Why is that singled out of all the melachot? None of the other melachot are mentioned with regards to the Shabbat. Only Havara. So there are two opinions. There's a machloket as to why that is. One opinion is the Chalek Yatzat, to teach you that each one of the 39 melachot are separate. That means if you violate more than one melacha, you have to bring multiple korbanot if you did it bishogeg. There's another opinion that it is the lav yatzat, that it's only to give you makot, that it changes the status of havara. Havara does not get you a chiyuv skila, a chiyuv karet. Rather, it's a downgraded violation on Shabbat, which means that you only get a lav. It's a lotus saying you get makot for it. According to the one who says that it's a downgraded problem on Shabbat, havara does not exist on Yom Tov. There is no havara on Yom Tov. And what Tosafot explains over here, the Rabbeinu Yitzchak says, that this is according to the Mondomer, that havara is not an issue on Yom Tov, because on Shabbat it is the lav yatzat. It's a lav on Shabbat, and therefore on Yom Tov it doesn't exist. And that's why you're allowed to do havara, afilu shelo l'tzorech, lo l'tzorech chlal. You could do a havara, that would be fine. So that's why he believes over here that we are matir this havara, even though you're doing havara that's not shoveh l'chol nefesh. Doing havara that is not necessarily for tzorech l'chol nefesh. You can do it because havara is completely mutar on Yom Tov according to this deya. But obviously if there was kibui, then you would have a problem. So that's why if he switched over to kli cheres, you're okay, because on the coals you'd have kibui, which has no dispensation like that. Havara does have any dispensation, and therefore you'd be okay to do it. His issue is the molid recha, which is issued to Rabbanan, but now we're going to run into another opinion who thinks it's completely mutar, which is Rabba's opinion. Rabbo, Rav Yosef, Darmei Tarvayu, Schufei Kasa Ashirai B'Yomotova Asur. To take a cup that is full of incense, I don't know if they smoked it up, how they got the incense in there, they turn it upside down on silk or on some sort of clothing, on Yom Tov is Asur. A time of Mishum to Kamoli Recha. Again, you're creating new incense aroma in the clothing themselves. And that is problematic because of molid re'ach, that is the Rabbanan. I want to understand, Why can't you can take incense or some, take a cinnamon stick and roll it between your fingers and you'll create more cinnamon flavor or smell, and that's not a problem. Or bekotmo, you can nip it, you can break it, and that'll cause either some liquid to ooze out or increased aroma from the object. Umeriachbo, and you can smell it on Yom Tov and nobody thinks that's problematic. So why is there a problem of quote-unquote molid reach? In this instance, you're also molid reach, and it's totally fine. It says, hotam recha mi'ayita. Over there, by the object itself, the besamim itself, the smell already exists. All you're doing is, v'osif ehu dekomas mosif recha. All you're doing is increasing the intensity of the smell of the flavor that is there. It already exists. You're just helping it to exist more, to be more apparent or more available to you. That's why it's mutar. Hacha olude yehud kamoli recha. Over here by the clothing, there was no smell, no aroma in the clothing beforehand. Now there is a smell there. That is something completely new. Truthfully, it's an exogenous item that has now been inserted into the baggit, and that's what creates a problem. Rav Amar, agabi b'kachelet nami mutar. Now this says the third opinion. Rav says it's completely mutar, not only on a kli cheres, but even on coals. You can put the incense on coals. Now, Rava has to have two opinions here. One part of his opinion is that he has to believe that it's a dovar ashoved chol nefesh. That's number one. He has to believe that it's something that everybody would enjoy on Yom Tov. And number two is, he believes that once it's shoved chol nefesh, then he doesn't have any problems because it's mutar to do on Yom Tov, because then it becomes a tzorech ochel nefesh, quote unquote. Because even hanata guf, pleasure of the body, is considered to be ochel nefesh, as long as it's a davar shaved ochel nefesh, as long as everybody would enjoy it. But that's not true. We said before that only mifunakim would enjoy it. Rava's argument is that everybody would enjoy it, it's only some people can afford it. People who are rich can afford it, that's why they have it. The poor people would enjoy it as well, and they would do it as well, they just can't afford it. So that's Rava's argument. The reason is that not a davar shaved ochel nefesh is because of the monetary means of the individuals, not because they wouldn't enjoy that item. Based on that, he is matir, midat havei bisra agumrei. He says, I'll prove it to you because we put meat directly on the coals. We roast meat on the coals. When you put meat on the coals, you do all these items. You first mechabeh, you bring the fire down, then you're mavir, you cook and you're cooking the meat. Plus, the meat itself gives over flavor into the coals. And we don't say anything about that because it's adavar la'ochel nefesh. It's ochel nefesh, it's fine. Says, I think the same thing with regards to this mugmar. It has the same status. It's davar shevel ochel nefesh because of what we described. And it's doing the exact same thing that putting meat onto the coals is. And therefore, it's totally mutar. Dorish, Rav Gvia, mi beit katila pitcha de beresh galuta. So Rav Gvia, from this place, you said it on the entranceway to the Resh Galuta, keturah shari. This keturah is mutar. Amalei ameimar, my keturah. What is this keturah that he's talking about? E keturah biyadei. If we're talking about keturah with your hands, meaning that you are tying a knot, which is, keturah means from the word kesher, so you're tying a knot, that is masei umanhu. That is a problematic because that is only done by a craftsman. The melacha being described over here, according to Rashi, is someone who presses creases into begadim. It's a type of dry cleaning where they're pressing the creases in, they put it on a wooden form, and then they tie it down and press in the creases to the objects. Rashi talks about in socks, or in pants, or in the gloves, or things that cover the arms. So they put in creases in these items. And he says that's masei uman. So that's certainly not mutar on Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to do things that are done by craftspeople on Yom Tov. Vila shein, and if we're talking about to smoke the fruit, then that's also asur. Dahaka mechabe, because he's causing extinguishment of the coals when you put the keturah, here would be like ketoret, but the smoke that comes out. So which one of these two things is he mentioning? Neither of them are mutar. So Malay Ravashi, the olam lashein, we're talking about smoking the fruits. Midahava bisra agumre. It's exactly like the claim that Rava made, which is that based on Rava, Ravashi says, I believe that this is mutar, and that is what this Rav Gvia, mibei katil, is paskening. He's saying that lashein the fruits on Yom Tov is completely mutar. Ike de Amri, some say that this was the story. Amalei ameimar mai ketura. Ameimar posed the question again. What is the ketura? Ike ketura biyodei. Maseumanu, if it's this pressing of creases, that's a work of a craftsman, that's certainly not mutar. Ila shein, if it's for smoking the fruits, asur the kamolid recha. Not a problem of ashein or mechabeh, but rather the secondary problem which we brought, even if you do it on kli cheres, it's problematic because you cause molid reach, either in the object that you're smoking, or in the cheres in which you place the incense. Amravashi, ana amrita niale, I told him it came from me. Rav Gvia mibei katil is quoting me. When I said it over, I was quoting a great man who was Rava. I said this in the name of Rava to Rav Gvia, and he's quoting me, which is the Olam Lashen. The case here is that he is using it to smoke the fruit. And using the claim of Rava that this is like Bisra Gumre, but we don't worry about any of these items. We don't worry about Mechabeh, Mavir, or Molid Reach. All of these are fine, and therefore it would be permissible to do this. And that's why before we had a machloket Rav and Shmuel about this. Ma'ul Hashen, Rav said asur, Shmuel said mutar. Normally when it comes to Isurim, we would pass him like Rav over Shmuel and we'd say it was asur. Yet here we pass him like Shmuel that it's mutar because you have the support of Rav and then Ravashi afterwards who support that position of Shmuel that it is mutar. Now, Vosim Gidim Mikulas, you might remember this from the Gemara in Pesachim, which is Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Todus Ish Momi, Todus was a man of Rome. They lived in Rome, and Hinhig Ibn Romi. He was leader of the community in Rome, the Jewish community in Rome. Remember, post-Korban, there is a large Jewish community in Rome, partly because of the exile, partly because it's the capital. He started this minhag, or pushed the minhag, that they should have this gedi mikudas on the night of Pesach, in order to eat it, zechor the korban Pesach. Shachule, the chachamim said to him, imale todus ata, if you were not todus, gozranu alecha nidui. We would excommunicate you, because we think the practice is incorrect. We saw that in the Mishnah, chachamim usrim, shata machil et b'nei Yisrael kodashim b'chutz. You're feeding b'nei Yisrael kodashim outside the Mikdash. Where it says, kodashim, nasagat atcha, these aren't kodashim. These are just regular gedi that they're cooking in that manner. They're not making it to kodashim. Ela ema kein kodashim. You're making like kodashim. People are going to come to make a mistake to think that people are eating korban pesach, or that there will be makdish korban pesach because they think it's fine to do it and to be makrivit in this manner. So because of that, they said that we don't want you having this practice of having roasted meat, especially in this manner, which is gedi mikulas, exactly the way the korban pesach was roasted. They dissuaded people from doing that, and that's the way they paskin. They could not overcome todus. The reason they couldn't come over to todus, Rashi over here claims that he was a chacham gadol v'nichbad. It was a great Talmud chacham, and therefore they would not press against him. In other places, Rashi and some of the other Rishonim note that todus was a strong man. He held a lot of power within Rome, and not necessarily that he was a Talmud chacham, but he was a very powerful individual. And because he was such a powerful individual, they were unable to basically put him into excommunication or paskin against him. But they say, if it wasn't for the fact that you were todus, we would do that, because we feel what you're doing is incorrect. That was their way of telling him that we really want to put you in nidui, but we can't, to indicate their displeasure with the practice that he was hinhig et b'nei Romi. All right, next, while we're on numbers of three things that people did, we have another Mishnah. Shlosha dvarim, b'belazar ben Azariah matir, b'chachamim osrim. There are three things that b'belazar ben Azariah allowed, and the chachamim were not happy with that. Parato yotza birutzua shebin karnea. His par, his cow, used to go out with a string between its horns. Linoi, it was decorative in nature. And that's a problem of masui, carrying on Shabbat. Your animal is carrying the object which you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. We'll get to that in the Gemara in a second. The Gemara in Shabbat also mentions this in a Mishnah in Shabbat, and then discusses what the issue was. Umikardim et beima biyom tov. You're allowed to comb the animal on yom tov. Vishochakim et apilpilim berechaim shalem. And you're allowed to crush the peppercorns in their mill in order to make pepper on Yom Tov. Yudomer im kardim et beima biyom tov. Now we have the dissenting opinions here. You're not allowed to comb the animals on Yom Tov. Mipnei she'oseh chabura. That's a problem of making wounds in the animal. There's a possibility that you'll cut the animal, and that's a problem. Aval mikartzefim. On the other hand, you can be mikartzef, which is a lighter form of combing. The difference being a duality of difference, which is, number one, the mikardim is done with metal comb. And number two is the teeth of the metal comb are very narrow or thin, so they're more likely to cause a cut in the animal. Whereas mikartzefim is done with a wooden comb, which have much thicker teeth to it. You can't do either. You can't comb in any way whatsoever. And the Gemara discussed their three-way machloket. The memra that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a par. Wait a minute. You're telling me that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only had one par? Over here it says that his par used to go out, implying that that was his only par that used to go out. Vamarav, Vamilo Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Tleisar Alfe Egle Avamaser, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made Drake Hoshata Vishata. He used to be Mafrish. 13,000 calves as Meiser Behema every year from his flock. That's 1/10, meaning that 10% of his flock of the newborns was 13,000. So that means that he had at least 130,000 newborn animals every year that had to come in and to go through Meiser Behema. So what are you talking about? One par of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he was extremely wealthy, and he was being mafrish thousands and thousands of Meiser Behema. So Tana, lo shelo haita, here's big Musar Haskel from this, which is, it was not his para, elo shel shechinato haita. It was his neighbor's para, mitoch shelo michaba, nikreit al shemo. Because he did not object to the practice of his neighbor, he was held responsible for it, and not only held responsible, they're so responsible that the Mishnah calls it by his name. They call it his para, because he had the ability to stop them from doing the wrong thing, and he did not object. And it says, a general principle, the Gemara notes in many places, It's the beginning of Avodah Zarah, also with Rav Hanania ben Tragio, that if you have the ability to object to people doing something wrong and you don't do it, their Avera gets assigned to you because of that. That becomes your problem because you could have stopped it. And the fact that you didn't object and didn't stop it makes it your problem. Gemara mentions it by Bnei Beito, Gemara mentions it by Rav Hanania ben Tragio's wife, mentions it by a number of instances where a person has the ability to stop or object, and if they don't, they're held accountable or responsible for that which is taking place. Right now, there's one other Tosafot that shows up everywhere in Shas, that this Gemara by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shows up. How could it be that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was mafrish meiser behema? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is post-Khorban. He's after the Khorban Abayit. We know from the Gemara in Brachot that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over as the Nasi when he was 18 years old, and he took over for Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, who were having certain altercations at that time, we know that they are Talmidim already of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lives through the Khorban Habayit. His Talmidim, Rabbi Gamliel, already has been around for a while because he's instituted Takanot and done a whole bunch of things post-Khorban. And then only then did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah take over. And he's 18 at that time. So the likelihood that he was around at the Khorban Habayit or pre-Khorban Habayit is very low. And if he was around, he was a katan. So how is he mimafrish maser beima? Because Tosafot says, the Gemara Bechorot says, that they stopped giving maser beima after post-Khorban. They stopped being mafrish maser beima after the Khorban. So Tosafot gives a number of answers. Says either lo nitbatel li'altar, that they did not stop the practice of giving Meisah Be'ema immediately after the Korban, but a much later date. I'll come back and speak about that in a second. Number two is that he had a petropus, that he had a guardian. He was a young kid. He inherited a lot of money. So he had a guardian that was doing it. It's not he himself, but his flocks, well, were taken care of by the guardian, were mafrish those ma'asrot. That's another possibility. Inami lav dafka ma'aser. It's not ma'aser, but rather taxes. He was paying taxes to the government. Those were the taxes. Tosafot in other places rejects that answer and says Maser doesn't sound like that. It sounds like he was taking off Maser Behema for real. It turns out to be truthfully a Machloket Bavli and Yerushalmi based on the Mishnayot at the tail end of Shkalim that as to whether they were Mafrish Maser Behema post-Korban. In Bavel they were not Mafrish Maser Behema. And the Bavli says that they basically stopped it. The practice was stopped. But in the Yerushalmi and the practice in Eretz Yisrael for many years post-Khorban, hundreds of years after the Khorban, was that they were mafrish, maser be'ema, and that truthfully would have explained the answer here, which is that they were mafrish, maser be'ema for many years. Maser be'ema, they would have to wait till got a mom, and then they could eat it. So because of that, they used to be mafrish, maser be'ema in Eretz Yisrael for many hundreds of years afterwards, unlike what is said in the Bavli, that the practice terminated after the Khorban, or according to Tosafot, slightly after the Khorban. Bekardina et zebeima bi yom tov, they let it comb the beima on yom tov. Tanravanan. Ezu kirud, bezu kirtsuf. What is the difference between them? Kirud is ktanim. This is a fine tooth comb, but also metallic, as Rashi says. Vosim chaburat. And they can cause injury to the animal. Kirtsuf is gdolim. This is a more coarser, thicker tooth comb. It's made out of wood, according to Rashi. Vosim chaburat. And they do not injure the animals. Begimel machlokot bedavari. The three-way machloket in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Dover Shein Mitkaven Asur. Rabbi Yehuda the Shitato says that even unintentional melacha on Shabbat and certainly on Yom Tov is Asur. So in the case here, Kirud, Kitanim, Vosim Chabura. The fine tooth comb that is metal makes unintentional wounds in the animal. Therefore it's Asur. Kirtsuf, Kidolim, Vosim Chabura. The larger tooth comb, which is wooden, does not make a chabura even unintentionally, and therefore it's completely mutar to use in Shabbat or in Yom Tov. Lo gazrini kirtsuf atu kirud. And we don't make a gzera that you can't use the thicker tooth comb because of the finer tooth comb. Rabbanan savrei nami ki Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan who are answering everything hold like Rabbi Yehuda, dover sheinu mitkaven is a sewer. Gazrini kirtsuf atu kirud. And there goes there the thicker tooth comb because of the thinner tooth combed, and therefore it's completely asur to comb the animal on Yom Tov or on Shabbat. Elazar ben Azariah suffered like Rabbi Shimon. Elazar ben Azariah paskins like Rabbi Shimon, who is the Baal Machloket of Rabbi Yehuda, and says, Davar Sheinu Mitkaven is Mutar. So if you have an unintentional Chabura created on Shabbat or on Yom Tov, that's not problematic, it's completely Mutar. Ubein Kirud, Ubein Kirtsuf Shari. And therefore, whether you're using a fine tooth comb or a thicker tooth comb, you are completely Mutar, because even if it causes a Chabura, it's not a Pasik Reshe. It's not definitive that you will create a chabura, therefore it's mutar. Amar Rava, Amar Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Yilo, Amar Rav Nachman, Uchudei, Alochem to Rabbi Shimon, Alochem to Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon the Tavashin of Mitkavein is Mutar. Sharei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modelo, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like him. Amalei Rova the Rav Nachman, Valeimer Mar Alochem to Rabbi Yehuda, Sharei Chachamim Otim Lo. Why are you saying that? Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah supports him, so that's the Alocha. Why don't you say that the Chachamim support Rabbi Yehuda, and the Alocha is like them? Amalei, Anak Rabbi Shimon's really. Tell you a little secret, I hold like Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah supports him, I think that's a great thing. Vod, Sharei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modela. And on top of that, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also supports his position, and therefore, even though the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless, I pass them like Rabbi Shimon, because that's the Masorah that I have, that the Locha is like Rabbi Shimon. Tosfot over here mentions that we pass in Perish Reed, the Locha of Rabbi Shimon, that it's Mutar, V'dafka, V'megereret Shalitz. It's only true, they wouldn't comb. Te'inu Sechabura, Aval B'megereret Shalanu, with our types of combs, Shehen Shal Barzel, that are metallic, that's a pasuk reshe. Sarot. Now that it causes a chabura, but it pulls hair out. It's a problem of tlusha, which is an issue with brushing or combing one's hair on the Shabbat. One has to be careful that the hair is stuck together, or problems where it's almost definitive that hair will come out when one brushes the head. They may not do it on Shabbat.
Or doesn't brush it.
If you have hair to brush, and then the hair would come out, if you brushed it on a pasuk reshe basis, it would be problematic on Shabbat. So you have to be careful what types of brushes and how one brushes on Shabbat and Yom Tov. All right, next Mishnah. We're going to have two Mishnayot that have really nothing to do with Yom Tov, but they're just continuations of something that we mentioned before, which is number one, Erechaim Shel Pilpilim. This mill, the pepper mill that we mentioned before, Tmeya Mishum Shlosha Kelim. It's Tmeya because there's three parts to it, and these three parts are different Kelim for different reasons. Mishum Klei Kibul, because a receptacle, the bottom kli is a receptacle, it's made out of wood, and it receives the pepper dust after you've ground it in the mill. That's problem of Klei Kibul. Even a Klei Eitz is Mekabel Tuma when it has a receptacle in it. Mishum Klei Matechet, the upper piece is a problem of Klei Matechet, which is the grinder itself. Grinder itself is a piece of wood that has metal on it that does the grinding. So even though it's eights, but it has the metal around it, the metal is the ikar. And a kli matechet, even though it's flat, is mikabel tuma. So that's the upper piece. The middle piece is mishum kli kvara, is because it's a sieve. Now Rashi claims that it is a kli, it's a wooden utensil in the middle that has holes in it. It has holes in it that allows the dust to go through, but not the peppercorns or the bigger pieces to go through. And because it's not a clay kibble, because it has holes in it, and because it's kli eitz, which, if it doesn't have a kli bull in it, it's not mikabel tuma, it's not a kli matechet, therefore it would not be mikabel tuma. But the chachamim goes there here, that it is mikabel tuma, because it looks like weaving. Because the way that they created sieves in their day was that they wove the different pieces together, so it looks like it's a piece of weaving, because it looks like a kli arug, therefore it has a din of tuma. So Tashi says it's tuma derabanan, because it looks like weaving, which is a very difficult thing. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi, which is, it's strange that you would say a wooden utensil looks like weaving, and therefore it's tamei midrabanan. Tosafot disagrees, and he says, first of all, what does it mean that these three kelim have three different types of tuma? It means that they're independent of each other. If one becomes tamei, the others do not become tamei, because each one is considered to be independent. Number one. Number two is kli kivara. He says something along the lines that Joel just said now, which is, any sieve does two things. It lets some things through, and it keeps some things out. By doing that, it becomes a clay kibul. Even though it lets some things through, it's still a clay kibul for the grosser items that do not get through it. And therefore, that's why it's a clay kibul. It's a clay kibul because of this idea that it's a sieve, not a classic receptacle, which takes everything in it, but a receptacle that keeps some things in it. And because of that, it has a din of tuma. And that's why Tosafot thinks that there's a problem over here of tuma with the clay kivara. Right now, Tana, Tachtona, Mishum Kli Kibul. The Gemara explains what it means. I explained it in the Mishnah already. The bottom one is the receptacle where the pepper dust goes. Emzai, Mishum Kli Kivara. The middle one is the filter. So that is the Kli Kivara. And the Yona, Mishum Kli Matechet. And the grinder itself has the metal on it, and it's because of Kli Matechet. That is Mitameh. Okay, next Mishnah. Agala Shel Katan. A little, Rashi calls it a stroller of a baby. Tmeya Midras. It is Tmeya Midras from the ability to sit in it if the child is a Zav. When you tell it b'Shabbat, it's not Mukseh on Shabbat. Ve'inan Nigreret El Agavi Kelim. One may not drag it except on items that separate between you and the dirt floor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol ha-kelim eini grim chutz min agala. Rabbi Yehuda says, you may drag no kelim except for this wagon, because it depresses and does not choretz. It does not cut a line into the ground. We'll explain this all in 1 second. Now, agala shel katan, the Gemara says, is tmei ha-midras, da samich ilavei. Because he leans on it, the way Rashi explains it is that he sits in it. Sometimes the baby, it's a toy for the baby, the stroller. Sometimes he likes to sit inside of this stroller or toy stroller that he has. And therefore it's mekabel midras, because we don't say that it has another purpose besides sitting in it. One sits in it, we don't tell him to get up, and we want to do something else with it. When he sits in it, that we allow him to do. Therefore it has a din of tumat midras. When he tell him it's Shabbat, yishom de'ika toret kli ala. You can carry it on Shabbat, it's not moksu because it's a kli. Ve'ena nigreret el agabi kelim, and it's not dragged except on kelim. Agabi kelim in, on a carpet or something else it's mutar, agabi karkalo. But on the ground, you could not do it. My timer, what's the problem here? To call it choritz. Because you're making a cut in the ground. When you drag something on the ground, when you have a dirt ground below you, or a dirt floor beneath you, you cut into it, which is the equivalent of choresh, if it's out in the field, or it's in the house, the problem of boneh, mani. Who's the author position? Rabbi Yehudi, tamar davar shein mitkaven asur. You're not intending to create the charitz in the ground, yet, if it creates a charitz, he's saying it's problematic. This is Rabbi Yehuda, who's davar shein mitkaven asur, because either Rabbi Shimon, tamar davar shein mitkaven mutar. He says that something that is unintentional is mutar. And we're going to see again the Tanya. Here's the famous Braita, which has this machloket between them, which is Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal. Person can drag a bed, a chair, or a bench on Shabbat. As long as he doesn't intend when he's dragging it to make the groove that is cut into the ground because of the object, then that is fine. The Gemara there clarifies that it has to be that it is not a pasuk reshit. It can't be that it automatically makes a charitz, because even Rabbi Shimon agrees in the case of pasuk reshe that it's problematic. If it automatically happens, then it's no longer davar shein mitkaven. By definition, it becomes problematic because you know it's going to happen. So it has to be something that doesn't always make a groove, but could even on the majority make a groove there. That would be okay according to Rabbi Shimon, because that's davar shein mitkaven. Rabbi Yehuda believes davar shein mitkaven is asur. But then what you've just done is assign the Tana Kama's position to Rabbi Yehuda. Then aim a seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the Mishnah that says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein hakol nigarim b'shabbat chutz min agala. There you have Rabbi Yehuda giving his own opinion. So how could it be that you have the Tana Kama in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and then Rabbi Yehuda himself speaks up and says, that's not my position. So it doesn't make so much sense. Ibnei she'iko veshet. Because the agala has wheels, and wheels, when you push them along, most cases do not create a groove because they're dragged, meaning that there's a counter pressure to the ground, but rather they simply, the weight of the wheels depresses the dirt below it. It's not creating a charitz, simply compacting the dirt that is below it. Mineshu koveshet in aval charitz lo avdo. Doesn't make a charitz at all. So how are you claiming that the Tana Kama is in the position of Rabbi Yehuda when Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that? Mar says, trei tanae balibid Rabbi Yehuda. It's two tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda's position. One Tana believes that Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's a problem of charitz over here, even with wheels, because the wheels get stuck and you drag it and therefore it creates a charitz. The other Tana believes, no, that when you have an agla, when you have a wagon that has wheels, it compacts the dirt, it does not cause a charitz here. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi and says, it can't be that we're talking about a stroller over here, because it's so obvious that that's tamei tumat midras. Why is the Gemara, why is the Mishnah have to tell you that it's tamei tumat midras when it's a stroller? So Tosafot thinks that it is actually a walker. He says it's a three-wheeled walker, but it's not exactly a tricycle, but a walker for children to learn how to walk. They used to hold on to it when they were first starting to walk. They made this three-wheeled walker that they used to push along in front of them. So then they used to lean on it. That's why it's tumat midras, because it's bearing the weight of the child on it. And that's the tumat midras here. And that's why it's not so obvious, because he doesn't sit on it. It just bears his weight. And then you have the same problem with the wheels, which is, are the wheels creating a charitz, or are they koveshet? Are they compacting the dirt that is below? All right, we'll stop here. The next Mishnah is an important Mishnah. The reason I won't do it now is the Mishnah of Ein Sadin. One is not allowed to capture on Yom Tov. The key element or the key question that one has to ask is, why not? It's Ochel Nefesh. It's Ochel Nefesh. Didn't the Gemara tell us already? Ochel Nefesh is Mutar by Kol Melachot. This is the pivot point for all the Rishonim to discuss, when does Ochel Nefesh apply and to which Melachot does Ochel Nefesh apply? and to which melachot does it not apply? How do we define on Yom Tov which melachot are mutar because of Ochel Nevesh and which melachot are not mutar? Here you have a mission, explicit mission that says you may not capture on Yom Tov. So we know that there's certain melachot, despite the fact that they're Ochel Nevesh, that are not mutarin. And so that is the discussion that we'll take up with regards to the Rishonim tomorrow. Basically, this is one of the fundamentals of Ochel Nefesh. As always, in the Gemara, you'd want that to be at the beginning of the Masechta. We'll discuss it tomorrow, so we'll leave the Mishnah for tomorrow in order to discuss that.